We need to press in. We need to press on. We need to contend for the faith. We need to fight the good fight. We need to take the kingdom by force. Passivity has no place, amen, in the army of God. It's the Lord who quickens, the Lord who strengthens, the Lord who regenerates, the Lord who enables, who empowers us to do of His good pleasure. So we've got to be abiding in the one who has the ability to work above and beyond what we could even think of doing or ask or even think. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to His mighty power at work within us. Jesus told us, apart from me, you can do nothing. A friend of mine sent me a little song by Eddie James called House of Prayer. It's very simple, and I want to learn it and do it here, but it basically says, make me a house of prayer. Make me a house of prayer. Make me a house of prayer. Let the fire on my altar never go out. Fire on my altar never go out. Make me a house of prayer. We need to maintain the flame. It is the priest's responsibility to maintain the supply of oil to the vessel. God freely gives. God supplies all of our need, all of our need, according to His riches and glory. But as a royal priesthood, it is our responsibility to maintain that flow, amen, of God's holy oil or His Holy Spirit. We need to maintain that oil in order for the flame to continue to burn, amen. And if there's a smoking flax, if there's just an ember there, amen, all we need is God to go, whew, amen, to blow on that ember and resurrect, awaken us again. Revive means to return to life. When a person is dead, they don't know it. They're not aware of it. Come on. So it's the Spirit of God that prompts us, that seeds us, amen, with His Word, producing faith of the heart, and in a confidence in what He promises, that if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. What did He say? Our responsibility is to come to Him and drink. To them that believe on me, as the Scripture says, out of their spirit or out of their belly will what? Flow rivers of living water. Huh. How many know what I'm talking about? If you're dead, you're not aware of it. If there's even a little bit of life in us, we can be aware. Amen. However, God wants to breathe upon us His breath, breathe into us new life. And He wants to breathe on that ember in your heart so that it will come to full flame. God wants His people on fire, burning for Him, amen, in a full flame, full measure of His Spirit working out or flowing out of our belly, out of our life. To them that believe, God has provided all that we have need of. He's made available to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live on IV drip, right? I don't want to be just kind of surviving. I want to be thriving. And God has made available to us all that we have need of. We can come with confidence. I was sharing that a little bit of that song, make me a house of prayer, and may the fire on my altar never go out. You know, we want to burn for Jesus. And so we don't want to be, you know, a lukewarm thing that bears no fruit. Amen. But we need to let our light so shine before men. So shine before men. How many know that the light in us is Christ? And so the Lord wants to shine. We sing that old song, Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. That's what America needs. They need Jesus, amen? And they need God's people being salt and being light, being influencers in society. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Hallelujah. How many find that the Lord is exciting? When you're on fire, you're excited for Jesus. When you're excited about Jesus, you want to tell people about Jesus. When you're on fire for Jesus, when you're excited about Jesus, you want to share Jesus. Somebody say amen. That was a good point right there. When you're alive, you're hungry. You get hungry. You want to eat. If you're sick, you lose your appetite. If I'm filling up on junk food, I won't have a desire for healthy food. If I'm just filling myself with the junk of this world, that's what's going to feed me. That's what's going to fill me with a false sense of satisfaction. But without realizing it, people are starving to death spiritually because they're not connected to the vine. And they're not drinking from the springs of living water. They're not drinking from the fountain of life, Jesus Christ, where the Lord has said all things have been prepared. All things have been made available. The window, amen, if you will, we don't have to pray for an open heaven. There is an open heaven now. The veil has been rent. And you and I are that house of prayer. You and I are that temple of the Holy Spirit that are to commune with God in the Spirit and to draw from the resources that our Father freely provides for us daily so that we can bear fruit. And when you're healthy, you will have a desire for the things of God. You will love the Word of God. You will love to hear the Word of God. You will love to sing praises to God when you're alive. When you're revived, you are excited about Jesus. God wants His people to be burning for Him. He wants us to be in full flame. And I challenge us this coming year, let's be full flame people for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's come and daily and drink. Don't wait the Sunday morning, amen, to get your drink. Learn how to come to the Lord daily. Give us this day our daily bread. God has all that we have need of. Hallelujah. So Lord, we say, revive us again. Fill each heart with your love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah. Oh God, you're our heart's desire. You're the center of our joy, Lord. All that's good and perfect comes from you. Hallelujah. All good gifts come down from the Father of lights. Oh, God of gods, we thank you, Father, that it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. It's his good pleasure to give, but we have to come and partake. We have to drink. We have to stay in Him. Abide in Him, He said. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. So God, help us. There's a shaking going on across the globe. Amen? That's not to scare, but to prepare. There's a shaking going on. How many feel like your lives are being shaken right now? Your lives may be shaken right now, but that doesn't mean you have to be shaken. Even though there's a shaking going on, if you're in Christ, steadfast in Him, if your roots are going down deep into Him, Amen. You're not going to be blown away by the things that happen. The winds and the waves may beat against your house, but since it's founded on the rock, Christ Jesus, amen, your roots grow deep into Him, you will stand through the storms of life, the difficulties, and the days that are coming. God is with us, and God will provide for us all that we have need of to overcome the world. Hallelujah. God wants us to know that He's in love with us, and He wants us to trust in His grace and know that we are not to be afraid, to be fearful of any of the things that we see happening around us. But our confidence, our hope is in Christ alone. He is the only safe place. Hallelujah. In Christ alone I place my trust. Hallelujah. So out of their belly, out of their spirit will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace. We need grace. We need help. We need daily bread. We need God's provision. You know, the Lord's been kind of speaking to me a little bit about prayer and focus of prayer. And you know, I'm reminded of Peter when Jesus said, Peter, the devil has desired to sift you as wheat, right? But he said, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. How many know that we have an intercessor in the heavens, Jesus, amen, the man Christ Jesus. He's our great high priest, our intercessor. So we need to come to the Father through the Son. We come to the Lord. And we pray for others. See, sometimes it's not appropriate for us to pray that somebody gets out of a situation, but that their faith would not fail in the situation. And when they are converted. Huh. You want to know what's lacking today? Is conversion of the heart. We're getting seed on all kinds of soil types. Hardened grounds. Isn't it interesting that sometimes you can teach people something over and over and over and over again, and then ask the question, and they don't have a clue. What happened to the word? It didn't have entrance. The devil came and plucked it. If the soil of our hearts is not broken and opened up to receive, in other words, we're not humbled in our spirit, we're not broken in our spirit, then there's not going to be the receptivity of the words, so there's not going to be any roots. And God said that our roots need to go deep into Him so that we won't be shaken by the things that are happening, that are coming. And sometimes we're shaken by just little things that happen. And God allows that to sometimes to show us where we really stand. And that a lot of times without realizing it, we're very confident in ourselves to be good Christians, rather than having our confidence in God, amen, to keep us. We put our faith in our ability to be a good Christian. And as long as I'm putting confidence in self, I have no grace whereby I can stand for very long. So God has to prepare the soil of the heart through the adversities, through the difficulties, to bring us to a place where now we're open and yielded and receptive to the grace of God, so that the seed of the word can get into us and produce, amen, roots that go down deep, so that this tree begins to bear fruit. Now, let me say something. Some trees are beautiful in appearance. They can be full of beautiful leaves. But if it's a fruit tree, come on, somebody, it's useless if it's just a pretty thing to look at. We need to be producing fruit. And we cannot bear fruit unless we continue in Christ. Continue to abide. Continue to drink. Continue to eat of Him. Are you hearing me? Day by day, day by day, day by day. And your roots grow down deep. And you come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. Where you are converted in your heart. You have become sanctified in your heart to the Lord. Set apart to the Lord. You understand? Some people, they just get a little snack on Sundays and they try to go on that. And because there's no depth of root, or because the soil has not even been prepared or broken up, the enemy comes along and snatches whatever seed they had, and they never come to fruition. They're like yo-yos, up and down, up and down. Are you hearing me, somebody? God wants to bring stability in our lives, and so it takes a daily step by step, doesn't it? Of just drinking and eating and staying close to the Lord. And we've got to pray. If we don't pray, we will fall prey. P-R-E-Y. God is the one that sustains. But God calls us to draw near. That's our responsibility. You can bring and invite a guest to your house and have a great feast set and prepared. But if they don't take advantage of it, whose fault was that? Theirs, right? God has prepared a banquet before us. Everything that we need and more. Grace is over and abundant, isn't it? But we have to take advantage of the provision of God. Delight yourself in Him. Make Him your delight. Give us this day our daily bread. Day by day, Israel had to gather, didn't they? In order to be sustained on the journey so that they could get to the place where they would enter into the place that was flowing with milk and honey. You got to get your roots. You got to get roots deep. There's a lot of people that are self-confident in the church and they don't last long. They begin, right, in the right direction, but little things take them out. Because their roots haven't gone deep enough. Even the Lord Himself, when He spoke to people, He was saying there's just four soil types. There's the hardened path, the hardened here. You know, there's the seed that fell among the stones, amen, the stony ground. That's the emotional here. They get all excited. They love to hear the word. Come on. Get excited like a bottle rocket, boom, right? But have no depth of root. And then you have that which was sown among the thorns. That's the worldly here, amen? People that are worldly minded, they're mixed. There's so many other things that have come in and it's choking the life out of them because their minds are all caught up in social media and whatever else. They've got other gods, other idols, sports, whatever it might be. And so the fruit never comes, the seed never comes to fruition. But those who are on the good soil, those who hear, those who receive with an honest heart before God, don't pretend anymore. I say this a lot, but if we pretend to be what we're not, we'll never become what we should. We have to come to God as desperate, needy vessels daily and say, Father, provide, I need my daily bread. Without your spirit, without your help, without your grace, I can't do it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom. Amen? We're desperate for Him because we realize what we're called to do and the mission of God and the desire of our Father's heart is something beyond what we can do naturally. in my own self-will or confidence, I can't do what God's called me to do, and I can't be what God called me to be. It's the grace of God that works in me. It's not of self, it's of Him. And so my responsibility as a royal priesthood is to maintain the supply of oil. Amen? So that the flame continues to burn. And maybe you're here today and there's still an ember there. Amen. All you need is God to come along and blow on your life again and revive. Return to life again. Amen. And then desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Get that Word in you. Amen. Start to eat and to drink of Him daily. Prayer, Word of God. Get your roots down deep into Christ. Amen. That's the only stability we have is Him. And if you don't think so, it means you're confident in yourself. If you don't think it's necessary to pray, you're deceived. Come on. The devil's going to attack that. He doesn't want you and I to pray. It's a threat to him. So he's going to do everything he can to distract, preoccupy, distract us from what? The mission, the will, the purpose of God for our lives. He just wants to do it long enough so that all of a sudden we realize that, hey, 10 years just went by. Where did they go? How many can say, you know, man, doesn't it seem like it was just yesterday we celebrated Christmas? You know, or that it was Christmas just the other day? Man, this year is just, beside myself, anybody feel that way? Like the time is just flying? There's no time like the time we're in right now to be about the Father's business. I've never regretted committing myself to the Lord and to His purpose. It's wonderful, isn't it, to be a servant of the Lord? Amen. We get to. God's allowing us to partner with Him in this ministry. Hallelujah. And delighting in Him. Rejoicing in the Lord always. Your meat, my meat, that which satisfies is the will of God. And God allows us, because we've been given free choice, to choose the path that we want to choose, to live the life we want to live. But you'll never find satisfaction in that. Am I right? The devil dresses it up to make it look so appealing, but then after you eat of that fruit, it's like, oh, what was I thinking? It's not worth it. I think all of us can identify with times in our lives where things seem so dark and they seem so hopeless that we wonder if we're ever going to get through it, if we're ever going to be able to come through or overcome what we're faced with. How many here know what I'm talking about? You've been in times and situations in your life where it just seems so overwhelming and so impossible. And especially when you find yourself in the heat of that moment of the trial or the test or the difficulty that, you know, it's hard sometimes to keep your head above the water. And then you have an adversary that likes to come along and tell you while you're down. He's the one that likes to kick you while you're down, you know. He got you down in the first place, and then he wants to kick you while you're down and tell you, oh, you'll just never be anything. You'll never get over this. You'll never get through this. It's too impossible. You know, and in some cases, he even convinces people that the best thing to do is just take their life. You might as well just end it all because there's no hope. There's no point in continuing on. And sometimes it's not always just the big things. Sometimes it's little things that can really shake us and life. We can be going on our merry way, singing the song, "Everything's going my way." And all of a sudden, anybody had any of those all of a sudden moments before in your life? Well, you know, at the time of Jesus' birth, the people were in perpetual, they were in darkness. And that's all they knew was darkness. They didn't have the light. The people of Israel had the law and the prophets, but they didn't have the light. They didn't have the substance, which was Christ. And they were living under oppression and under Roman rule. And it was, there didn't seem to be any hope. They just survived day by day. But it was God's plan to come at the time when it was the darkest. And how many have ever heard the statement, "It's always darkest before the dawn"? So, whether you're in that place now, or maybe tomorrow or someday, you're going to find yourself sometimes in places of despair where things seem to be hopeless. But you need to know that there is a light, amen? And where there's a shadow, there's a light. And we have to understand that God is always there. He is God with us. His name is Emmanuel. This is the awesome thing, is that today you and I become the temple of God. He dwells in us. And because Christ is in us, the day spring on high, amen, has dawned in us. The light has come on. Amen. And there's somebody home. And we need to understand that when you're facing difficulties and dark times in your life, you need to realize that you don't have dark days. There's no such thing as a dark day for a child of God, because Christ, the light, dwells in our hearts. So it's what we believe that would determine how we live. If the enemy can convince us that God is not there, that God is not with us, and we start to believe the lie, then we'll start to live accordingly. We'll start to live a lie. So we have to believe what God promised, what He said. And when Israel was in the darkest place in their history, without any hope, that was the time appointed by the Father for Jesus, amen, the Word, to become flesh. And He came. And He dwelt among us. In Luke chapter 1, verse 78, it says, "The dayspring," or the dawn, "from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness, and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace." Matthew 4:16 says, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Amen. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." And that's what happened in my life, is that light dawned in the darkness. When everything seemed hopeless, it was beyond remedy, there was no point. It's better to be dead, I thought. God intervened. The love of God broke through. The day spring on high, the dawn came into my heart. As we sing that song years ago, "Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart." So no matter what things look like or seem to be, know that you have the light in Christ and you have hope. You have the ability to do all things through Christ, who's your strength. Now, historically, the people who sat in darkness were the Galileans. And that light was Christ, of course. The Lord came and He revealed Himself to them. He talked with them. He preached to them. He opened the eyes of their understanding so that they could know Him. And today, the ones that are sitting in darkness are the people that don't know Jesus. Amen. That don't have Christ. As at one time we were there, we didn't have hope. We didn't have light. We weren't able to see. We were actually dead and were not aware of it. Upon those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. There's no spiritual light. There's no true light without Christ. Ephesians 2:1, and it says, "In you he made alive, who were dead in what? Trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." How many here have been made alive in Christ? You're alive today in Christ. Now, let's be clear about this, because if you do not have Christ in you, you're in danger of the second death. And that is eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. Jesus came not to condemn, but to save. But he can't save that which he doesn't possess. And so God says, "I come and I give life. And whoever comes to me, I will in what? No wise cast out." Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Unless you change your ways and turn to me and trust me and put your confidence in me as your salvation, you cannot save yourself. If you try to, you will lose yourself. It's not by your good works. By his mercy we are saved. Because the soil of our hearts has been conditioned, it's been prepared to receive the seed. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God produces faith of heart to believe the promise of God. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God. But without the Lord, we're already lost. We're already dead. Without Christ, there's no life. So the good news is what the gospel is all about, is that no matter how bad things appear, how hopeless it may seem, no matter how bad you feel you've been treated in life, no matter how dark or how long your night, no matter how badly you've sinned or you've fallen, you're never without hope if you turn to the Lord. You understand? Because Jesus is the light of the world. What is the message of Christmas? It's out of hopelessness, out of despair, is hope. Out of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Jesus, the light of the world, amen, he came. Hallelujah, to a sin-sick, dark world, to light it up. And Jesus told his disciples, "As the Father sent me, now I send you." He says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill that cannot be hidden." Amen. He's telling you and I that we are now called, we've been assigned to light up the night, because the light is within us. Out of death, there's life. In Isaiah 11:1, it says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." New Living Translation says it this way: "Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root." Have you ever seen an old stump where it has new branches or new sprouts coming out of it? That's the picture the Lord gave. He says there was nothing but an old stump left. No hope. Hope was all gone, it seemed. However, there will be a rod out of the stem of what? Jesse. God says there's going to be life out of death. So where there seems to be hopelessness, hope has sprung up. So the devil wants you and I to believe that our situation, that our lives, because of all the mistakes, because of all the failures, because of all the stupid things we've done, are hopeless. Well, you know that God is the God of new beginnings. God wants to make all things new. God, doesn't matter how old you are or how long you've been a sinner, God wants you to experience His life, His new life. He wants you to be born again. He wants you to be saved. And He wants you to be filled with hope. Amen? Because He is the God of all hope. And if He is in you and I, then we have hope. There's no such thing as hopelessness to a child of God. That was a good place to say amen. There's no such thing as hopelessness to a child of God. There's no such thing as hopelessness in your relationships if you're a child of God. He's the God of all hope. God can do it. There's nothing that God cannot do. Nothing is impossible to them that believe. For with God, what? All things are possible. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think? We're limited many times in our mind in the way we think about things, the way we look at things. We're limiting what God wants to accomplish through our unbelief. Yeah. It's an unbelief problem. We need to align with what God says, what God promised. Believe that, speak that, accept only what the truth is. And anything that doesn't line up with the truth of God's word is illegal for us. Amen? It's like the person that comes down to the altar every week to get saved again. Because they didn't believe the first time. People that come up, they want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe they want to pray in the heavenly language and speak in tongues. And they come up and they, well, I've been tarrying, I've been waiting, I've been asking, and I've had all kinds of people pray over me, spit over me, and all kinds of stuff, and nothing seems to be happening. And well, one of these days, maybe God's going to baptize me with the Holy Spirit. When are you going to start believing that whatever you ask of Him as a good Father, He's going to give you? It's about what we believe is what we receive. What we receive is how we live. Do I believe that God said, if I ask for it, He'll give it to me? Well, see, a lot of times we think, well, I have to earn it by tarrying or doing something. Now, God told Israel, didn't He? He told His disciples to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with what? Power from on high. So He did tell them to tarry. But after that, the Holy Ghost had come. Amen. The Holy Spirit is being poured out today. Come on. It's a matter of receiving what God is freely giving now. Because now we get this mindset and we're misusing that word for tarrying. He was just saying the day of Pentecost hadn't come yet. So hang out. Wait on me, pray, and the time will come when I'll pour out my Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, He poured out His Holy Spirit. But God is still pouring out His Holy Spirit today. So the tarrying part is simply, I got to just come to God and believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, receive what He has for me, and say, thank You, Lord, I believe that I receive when I pray. And now I'm going to take a step of faith, amen, just like Elisha did when he picked up the mantle that fell from Elijah. He struck the water and he said, well, where is the God of Elijah? Well, I've got the mantle. Well, what are you going to do with it? Put it on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Believe in your heart. Believe what God said. Because a lot of times when we get in this tarrying mentality, it's really about me working for something. Come on. I have to work for this. No, you need to relax, chill out, and receive what God is freely giving. And that makes a difference. Man, people started receiving after that. Because I grew up in Pentecost. I mean, when I came to the Lord, I was in the old school, you know, where you got about 20 people over you shouting and spitting and speak, 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 speak. And I'm just like, rawr! How many have been there? We make it about stuff like that. We make, you know, it's just a matter of, Lord, thank you for fulfilling all of your good promises. You will do what you said you would do. And I believe that I receive. And because, let's face it, you cannot achieve what God wants to give you. It's a gift. Our Christian life is built on grace. Amen? And it's not built on works. It's a matter of me believing that God will do what He says He will do. But we grow up in a situation where everything has wages. So we have this kind of thinking sometimes. But grace is something that is freely given. God wants you and I to be on fire for Him. He wants us to enjoy His fellowship. Enjoy His presence. Enjoy life together with Jesus, because He came that we might have life and life more abundantly. And that means superior quality, right? And superior quantity. So when we are abiding in life in Christ, our lives will be filled with Jesus. If you are saved, born again, your life will be characterized by His life. There will be evidence. There will be fruit if you're in Christ. If the light has come, if the day spring from on high has visited you and He now dwells in you, then you have light. And it's not something you can earn. The gifts of God are not things that we earn. We don't work for the gifts of God. They're freely given, and your Father, being a good Father, wants to give good gifts to His children. So when we come to Him believing that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently what? Seek Him. Not work for Him, but call out to Him and believe that He's going to do what He said He would do. And quit striving. See, God wants us to operate from rest, not stress. The devil is a hard taskmaster. He comes up and he dumps heavy stuff on you. You're not doing enough. You're not working hard enough. You're not trying to be righteous enough. Okay, today, God, I'm going to be more righteous than I was yesterday. No, you're not. You're only going to be righteous as you abide in Him who is righteous. He makes you righteous. He is your righteousness. So I accept that because it's true. I believe the truth and I'm set free from myself. I'm my own worst enemy. I'm too hard on myself sometimes. Let me qualify that. Get over yourself is what Jesus is saying. Don't make it about you. How many times we say, well, I'm trying. Why don't you just accept what God has already freely promised and given you? And relax, enter into that place of, amen, fellowship with Him in the Spirit. You know, when you're walking with the Lord, you're not always living in this place of, have I done enough? Have I worked hard enough? Is God still in love? Does God know me? Does God love me? When you're in relationship with somebody, you know that. If my wife and I bump heads, we know it. Right? It's like all of a sudden we were in harmony and now we bumped heads and this is what happened. Well, we know that. So we just need to reconcile. We just need to get it right. Okay. Lord, if I've grieved you or done anything, you know, to grieve your spirit, please forgive me. I'm sorry. And you know what he does? He says, get out of here. No, he says, of course. Of course, he loves us. Well, we think that he just kicks us to the curb because we made a mistake. Is there anybody beside myself here that if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd just be completely shipwrecked already? You know, because we can pride ourselves in how much we fast and pray and read, and all those things are important. Can you say amen to that? But we can get proud of those things and how much we know. And as soon as we start getting proud of those things and we become the super elite spiritualist, we're in pride, we're in arrogance, and there's no grace to the arrogant. God says, I'm going to have to take you down a few notches and give you a little attitude adjustment and a reorientation here. It's called a recalibration. And God knows how to do that. But God knows that if we're humbled, or if we're yielded, if we're open to whatever He has for us, He doesn't want us striving in our Christian walk. He wants us thriving in our Christian life by accepting the Word of God, accepting the truth. What I believe determines how I live my life. If I believe that I'm a failure because the devil says you're a failure, then I'll live like a failure. Isn't that true? If I believe I'm a child of God, that I'm blessed and highly favored, then you will live blessed and highly favored. It's what you believe is what you receive. That's why the enemy's constantly messing with our heads. He wants to get a hold of the thought life. We have to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Amen? Demolishing any arguments, anything that sets itself up against what God says in His Word, so we can have life and peace in the Spirit because we are in agreement or in harmony with the Spirit of the Lord, with the heart of God. So it doesn't matter how things appear. It doesn't matter how dark it may seem. There was light, and the light dawned in the dark. And sometimes, guys, let's face it, when we go through those really dark times in our lives, you know, it's only a sign that something good is on its way. Because it's always darkest what? And that's what Christmas was, the birth of Christ was all about. The world lay in darkness, and the light came. And they beheld Him, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of mercy and truth. Amen. Grace and truth. So you got to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Believe His report. Believe His word. And not what your mind and not what your circumstances and everything around you is saying. Don't look at the situation, even in our government, with a sense of hopelessness, because it's not hopeless. It doesn't matter what other people are doing or what's happening externally around me. I can have peace in my heart if I'm trusting in the Lord. So you got to wait for your dawn to appear. Because at the appointed time, your dawn will come. So that's why the Bible says to rejoice in the Lord occasionally. Always. Why would we rejoice when things are tough, when things are bad, when things appear, seem to be dark? Why would we rejoice? Because your light has come. Rejoice because what? Your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Amen. You need to do the opposite of what your situation is saying. Start declaring what God said over your situation. Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." And you know as well as I do that you can't light up others unless you're lit. That was a term we used to use back in the world. We got lit. Well, we really got lit last night. How many are getting lit in the Lord? We need to get lit on Jesus. Amen. We need to be intoxicated in the Spirit of God. Amen. Because when you're intoxicated in His love, the lesser things do not control you. They cannot dominate you. They cannot take away your joy or your peace. Why? Because it's the joy and the peace of the Spirit that sustains you, that keeps you, that protects you. Keep yourself close to the heart of God. And the Lord is perfect peace. If you stay close to Jesus, you will have perfect peace. Why? Because Jesus is not stressed out about anything. He's not worried. He's not fearful. So when we abide in Him who is our peace, we have peace. So draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And I love this. One of my favorite Psalms is Psalms 27:13-14, where David said, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed." We need to just pause right there. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What you believe will determine what you receive. What you receive will be revealed in your life. It's true. Do we believe God's word? Do we believe the report that God has given unto us eternal life? Do we believe the report that we are in the palm of our Father's hand? And no one is able to snatch us out of our Father's hand. Do we believe the report that nothing shall separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Do we believe the report that Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you"? Do we believe the report that God has made available to us all things that pertain to life and godliness? Do we believe the report that God says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest"? Do we believe that there's a rest for our soul in the Lord? Amen. Psalms 37:39. "But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them from the wicked and save them." Why? Because they trust in Him. Well, we don't have dark days. Because we have the light, we have Christ. Make sure that Christ is in you. Amen? Make sure that you are in Christ. Because he who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not. How do I know if I have the Son? How do I know if I'm in Christ? Well, your life will bear the fruit of Christ. Come on. There's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's goodness, there's faithfulness, there's gentleness, there's a self-control. It's all a supernatural ability that the Spirit of God bears in our lives. Are you hearing me? Because we abide in Him. How do I know if I'm in Christ? Well, the Bible says that His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are His children. There's an inner witness that I belong to Him and He belongs to me. I'm in covenant with the Lord. If I'm in Christ, there will be evidence. Faith has evidence. Faith has substance. Amen? It's not a pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. It's the God who is with us right now, Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. God wants us to know Him, to have fellowship with Him in the Spirit, to daily walk with Him, to draw from the daily provision of grace that He has for us, our daily bread, amen, to be strengthened, to keep that supply of oil, if you will, to that flame, amen. God wants us to burn for Him. Our responsibility, amen, is to draw from Him daily. Abide, continue. And as you continue in Him, what happens is you grow roots that go down deep into Christ. And then when the storms and the winds and the shaking and the things that are happening around us intensify, your life will not fall apart because you're grounded in Christ Jesus. No matter what comes your way, no matter what comes against your house, if your life is built on Jesus Christ, His blood, His righteousness, you're not going to be shaken by it. You will overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the word of your testimony that you are declaring the truth, amen, and coming into alignment, into agreement with what God has promised and what God has said. Standing on the promises, I cannot fail. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. And guess what? You can't stand on the promises if you don't know what they are. There you go. Eat it, amen? Devour it. Get it in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, that we have access to this precious book. And by your Holy Spirit, we ask you to teach us and lead us into all truth, Lord, that we may know you, that we may be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Lord, that our roots will go deep into you, that we'll be that oak, Lord, that steady oak, Lord, as springs, that its roots are spread out, Lord, by the waters. No matter what happens, Lord, even in the year of drought, Lord God, we will continue to bear fruit. Oh God of gods, we ask you to make us a fruitful vessel, Lord God, working in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Draw us to you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.